to Dear Hank and John.
Or as I prefer to think of it, Dear John and Hank.
It's a podcast where two brothers answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon. John, this one was from my mom, our mom.
She sent me this one. I was about to get real defensive.
What did the nut say when it was chasing the other nut?
So this is from mom?
Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful background. I don't know.
I'm a cashew.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
That's a good one, mom. That was a good job. That was a good
job. She's been sending me dad jokes. She's like, I don't, maybe she doesn't approve of what's been going on in the dad
joke
portion.
She told me. No, I talked to her recently about it, and she told me it was like her favorite section of the podcast. And I was like, well, I'll try not to take that personally.
John, I recently got a message from TGI Fridays, the
great restaurant,
the restaurant chain restaurant brand, and they would like to work with me on a brand deal. So instead of that, maybe I'll do it, but we have to ideate. Like, I'm not going to come to them and say, yes, I want to work with you. And for clarity, this was a mass email to like every TikToker. But I'm going to take this very seriously, and I would like TGI Fridays to know how do I make TGI Fridays look the best that it absolutely can? Because right now all I have is I have not been to a TGI Fridays since I was 7 because they don't have them in Missoula.
Well, would it be helpful or not so helpful if I told you that it's, in my opinion, not the best American chain restaurant?
Right. Well, so that maybe there's an angle there.
Would it be helpful to understand something about the kind of culinary approach that TGI Fridays takes?
I got a picture in my head.
Are you more looking for, because my feeling is that TGI Fridays, there's some executive at TGI Fridays who heard that Applebee's on a date night song and was
this
like, oh,
we
got to
get on that TikTok stuff. Yeah.
We have to find a way.
Yeah.
Applebee's has seen a 40% increase in their monthly revenue, and we're no worse than Applebee's. And I genuinely think that's what he said in the meeting. He said, we're not that much worse than Applebee's. And so how do we
have a viral moment? Well, here's what you got to do.
How do we have a...
You got to position yourself in opposition to Applebee's. Now, they're not going to be, and they know this, they're not going to be able to tell the story that they're better than Applebee's. So they have to make the case that, like, they're maybe more authentic, or that if you go to Applebee's, maybe you're a little bit too, you know, refined, too fancy. You don't want to be fancy at Applebee's. That's how the song goes, right? Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's. No, you're not fancy like Applebee's. You're real like TGI Fridays. This is made of food. We can guarantee that to you. And I had another idea. And this,
I just had a brilliant idea. I'm sorry, but my idea is better than yours. It's very rare that I come in.
I'll hit you with mine after yours.
I just had an idea that is a level one idea. It's almost too good to give to TGI Fridays. That's how good it is.
Well, maybe you shouldn't say it, and I should tell you mine, which is fun, but not a good idea.
After Wimbledon were promoted from League Two to League One. And I went to the game with my dad at Wembley. And it was just an incredible, incredible experience. One of the best days of my life. The next day, I went back to Wembley just to like feel the energy of that place. And then I was hungry. And I went to a TGI Fridays, which it turns out they have in London. Because Americans Americans visit London. And, you know, we got to eat our food. And so I went to the TGI Fridays and it was really good. It was great. But the thing, my idea is, what if TGI Fridays becomes the central sponsor of AFC Wimbledon? Then they're associating themselves with the people, with a fan-owned club. Yep. They're associating themselves with not exactly success on the pitch, because that's not their brand. Their brand is pretty good enough. Good enough most of the time.
Yeah. You
We're going to get a lot of draws.
You
We're
like
going to have a lot of
1-1s like
against Cheltenham.
Yeah, it's about
that's
loyalty, not about
Fridays.
Quality.
It's about loyalty, not about quality. TGI Fridays is investing in AFC Wimbledon, and we are asking you to invest in TGI Fridays. And what we're going to give you is not a fancy date night. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a date night. No adjectives.
Oh, God. I mean, I do want something dropped into hot oil right now. Like, absolutely. I would love that. Here was my idea. So you know how like sometimes like Rihanna or whatever will do like a special food at McDonald's. You can get like the Rihanna, like whatever Rihanna gets.
Sure.
What would yours be at TGI Fridays? What is the like special great. John dish? Because I got one ready to go.
Mine is a 3-course meal.
Oh, wow. You're going to take control of the whole evening.
Because we're giving you a date night. Hank, no adjectives. Mine is a 3-course meal.
Yeah.
And what all 3 courses have in common is that they have all been dipped in hot oil. It's called the Friday Special.
Oh, what? Oh, I'm not going to beat that.
Fried ice cream, fried Oreos.
That's fried just chicken. The appetizer.
Fried jalapeno poppers. This is a brilliant idea. Yeah. Fridays.
Yeah. Well, I just had one thing, and it could be included in the Friday Friday, which is I want baked beans deep fried.
Ooh.
Deep fried baked beans. That's Hank Green's. Ooh. Hank Green's deep fried baked beans.
Maybe Hank Green's special is deep fried baked beans and a corn dog. Simple.
Ooh,
sexy.
What if,
you know?
What if TGI
People often
Fridays
say when they're look, on a date night, because when you're on a date night, you know, you're hoping that it's going to go back to the car. And then maybe if everything goes perfectly back to the apartment. And that is when you definitely want to have eaten 3 courses of fried food.
Well, I don't know if this is possible, but if anyone can do what the scientists at TGI Fridays can you make me a corn dog that somehow has baked beans in it somewhere?
Oh, like, that's a great idea.
In among the corn batter or stuffed inside the hot dog?
That is the Doritos Locos Tacos of TGI Fridays. That is what gets them out of the doldrums and brings them back to cultural relevance.
So I'm going to write back to this message I got on TikTok and be like, first of all, you didn't tell me what the rates were. So I'm going to need to know that information because nobody does. Nobody ever does. Secondly,
well, we need to, and you need to say, listen, TGI Fridays, I only have one kind of idea, $1 million ideas. And I only accept one kind of payment, million dollar payments.
And I got some goodies for you. There's 3, and I'm going to tell them to you, and you're going to give me the money after I tell them to you. That's how good they are. 1, you're going to associate yourself with a losing third-tier English soccer club.
Mostly a tying third-tier English soccer team.
And that's where they always are, because it's not about quality, it's about loyalty. Secondly, are going to create TGI Fridays Fried Days. No one's ever thought of that at your company. No one ever thought of that pun before. No one in the history of the world has had that joke. And thirdly, you're going to get baked beans into a corn dog. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. And nothing will be the same ever again.
I mean, here's the thing, Hank. If TGI Fridays really does team up with TikTokers to come up with an all-new menu where it's not like it's just an all-new menu of stuff TikTokers love.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I won't be anywhere near the list, of course, but that could actually be very successful.
Yeah.
You know, that could get young people back in the doors. Here, you know, after having this conversation with you, Hank, I can't help but think 2 things. 1, we missed our calling. We should have been
geniuses.
Yeah. We should have been madmen like Don Draper in the 1950s. And secondly, I don't understand why more brands don't want to work with us.
I feel this way all
because
the time.
I feel like I don't want to brag, but like I love Policy Genius and I love life insurance and I believe mm-hmm. in selling Policy Genius's life insurance because I believe lots of people need life insurance and Policy Genius does an exceptionally good job of getting it to you. And I think Policy Genius gets good value for their money. And frankly, I think TGI Fridays would get good value for their money with our bean corn dogs and Friday Fridays.
I mean, we have a lot of good ideas. Why aren't people paying us to have them for them? Just allow it to happen. What do you call a baked bean corn dog? Just a baked bean corn dog? A Hank Green baked bean corn dog? You call it a Hank Green baked bean corn dog. Yeah.
The Hank Green baked bean corn dog. And then it's the Friday's John Green fry. No, I think, forget me. I don't need to be in it, Hank. I'm not a narcissist unlike some of us. It can just be Friday Fridays and I'll just consult on the menu. I don't need it named after me. I don't need naming rights.
Is it Fridays or is it Fridays Fried Days?
Well, Hank, you got to leave a little bit of room of interpretation so that the marketing people can feel like they're doing something.
Oh, yeah. You give them three pitches. One of them is Fridays Fried Days. One of them is Fridays Fried Days. And then one of them is just like really garbage. So they feel like, you always give them a third option that's just terrible so you can point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Fridays Fried A's, where they only fry things that are shaped like A. They won't like that at all. That's the bad idea.
I would eat it.
All right, Hank, I think it's time to transition to questions from our listeners, beginning with this one from Catherine, who writes, "Dear John and Hank, my friend just told me that Betty White was actually basically 100 when she died because of all the leap years that she's lived through. She died just a few weeks before her 100th birthday, but if you count all those leap days, she would have been 100 if we hadn't had those leap days. So that makes me wonder, did we really need to have those leap years that robbed Betty White of so much joy in her life?" Thank you, Catherine.
Just take them out. Well, so over the long term, this does create a problem, which is that the year begins to not align with the seasons, which is one of the thing that's awful great about the year.
The solar year, yeah.
Yeah, and the year,
lunar year.
Like you got
a lunar year.
What's a lunar year?
Yeah, but some people date with lunar years and the seasons move through the years and they don't have any problems.
They do, that's true. But I know like to know that when July comes around, it will be warm.
Right. Unless you're in Australia, in which case it would be cold.
Right.
All this stuff is arbitrary, Catherine, but the idea of the leap day is that it helps us to keep January 1st cold and July 1st hot, unless you're in Australia.
But which is more important? Honoring the memory of the great Betty White or it being warm in July? Like, who cares?
I would tell you this. So I don't want to speak for Betty White. I don't know what her position on this would have been. I suspect that her position on it would have been, this isn't very important to me.
Yep.
She was a person who had a lot of passions in life, did a lot of good. I never saw in her philanthropy an orientation toward calendars, but I might be wrong.
Or we could switch it so that instead of counting everything in tens, we could just count everything in nines. And then she definitely made it to 100 because there's only nine digits per 10 instead of there being 10 digits in 10.
Right. We could just have a completely different counting system.
Yeah,
alternately,
we'll just count base 9 instead of base 10.
That's going to be... Yeah, that's not going to create any problems. Alternately, and I've often thought this was a great idea, we should not have a leap day every 4 years.
Oh, brave.
Okay?
Yes.
Wait for it, Hank.
Uh-huh.
We should have a leap fortnight every 48 years.
Ooh.
And then that's the purge. It's a full purge situation.
No!
It's like Halley's Comet. It only comes around once in a lifetime, and that 2 weeks is just like, it's the other world. It's the 48 years you spend thinking about what the other world might look like. Like, what might it look like if things were turned upside down? They often did this in like medieval Europe. Like, what if things were turned upside down and serfs were lords and lords were serfs?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have these like 4-minute parties where that would be the case. And then all the lords would be like, ha ha, just kidding. Go back to killing you. And I'd like to extend that out without the lord and serf stuff to a leap fortnight that occurs once, or if you get lucky, twice in a human lifetime.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like the idea that you only get one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that most people get one. And that's great. I like that. I think that period of time should be like, all right, no screens, only fires. We're going to just talk to each other. And
wait, isn't that what The Purge is? I haven't seen any of the movies.
Yeah, no screens, only fires is also kind of The Purge. Just the scale of the fires would be bigger. I was thinking campfires.
Yeah, me too. I was just thinking like people like sleep out and they just... like we turn off the electricity maybe even so people just have a radically different experience of life and everybody has to walk everywhere.
I like that.
Yeah, that's
we
my
need
proposal.
More we need more big like large scale everybody does the thing and just like everybody and it's just like why it's like stop asking questions because if we don't do things together it's gonna be trouble. We need to
It doesn't actually matter what rituals we invent, but we need to invent some rituals that we can all share.
Or else.
We have a fairly limited window in which to get some rituals on the books that we can all share and that make us all less lonely and that help us to understand that even crazy Uncle Nick is kind of a good guy at times. You know,
yeah.
Next question comes from Sydney.
Okay.
I don't know if it's our mom, but it could be. It seems like a question our mom might ask. In fact, the more I read this question, the more I'm confident I am it is our mom. Dear John and Hank, I was thinking about how there are a lot of liquids that are thicker than water, for example, milk and also milkshakes and also blood. And you can add things to water that make it thicker, but I don't think you can add anything to water that makes it thinner. Are there any fluids that are thinner than water, or is water the thinnest liquid of them all? I know people sign off pumpkins and penguins, but I have never listened far enough back into the archive to know why. Sydney, that sounds very much like our mom. She didn't become a fan of the podcast until like 2019.
Yeah, she's new. She really likes the dad jokes, though. This is so interesting because you don't really think of it this way. And of course, a lot of the things that we think of as thicker than water are just water with stuff in them. But there are also things that are liquid that are thicker than water. But there are also things that are liquid that are thinner than water.
Really?
So like, you know, like the meniscus, you know, like when you pour water in, it like gets to the very top and then it like makes a little bubble on top. It doesn't pour, like doesn't go over the edge, but just barely.
Yeah. I didn't know that was called the meniscus. I thought the meniscus was something very different.
No, that's a part of your knee. Is maybe the part you're thinking of.
Yeah.
The reason for that is that there's like little tiny bonds between hydrogen and oxygen. So like water has a little part of its molecule that's a little bit positively charged, a little part that's a little bit negatively charged, and those parts line up so they like hold on to each other a little bit. And there are other molecules that do not have that. They don't have as much intramolecular interactions, and so they will not have the same height meniscus, or they basically will have no meniscus at all, and they'll just go right over. Acetone is like that, methanol is like that, benzene is like that. Longer, bigger molecules that are liquid tend to stick together more, which is why oil is so thick. Cooking oil is what I'm thinking of.
Interesting.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so there are liquids that are thinner than water in the way that we think of thin and thick and blood and water and whatnot.
Yeah, and it's like measurably, like if you touched it, you wouldn't probably notice that much, especially because all those things are really volatile. So they would evaporate from your skin really fast. And that would, the majority of the sensation you get would be, that's cold, because they would be stealing heat away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go, Mom. Thank you for asking me a chemistry question because I know I'm favorite son and you really want to throw some bones to me because everybody
there's
talks
no
about John Green all the time.
No. First off, there's no favorites. Secondly, I don't think you can any longer defensively say like, oh, nobody ever talks about me and my 7 million TikTok followers.
I still haven't. John, you probably don't do this because you're not, you have different sets of problems than I do, but I always pick somebody who's like a little ahead of me and whatever social media platform I'm on.
I
like race to them to see if I can pass where they're at.
No, you don't. Do you really?
I do.
That That's so 2009.
I know.
I mean, I remember doing that, but you cannot do that as a full-grown internet adult. You're not allowed to.
I only pick adults.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, my God. This is terrible. Okay. Are you willing to say who the person is, or would it be too humiliating?
His name is Derek Huff. He is one of the dancers from Dancing with the Stars. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm looking at his profile page. I've got a couple comments for you, Hank.
Uh-huh.
First off, mm-hmm. I have been on TikTok, I don't know, 18, 20 hours a day every day for the last month. I've never seen this guy. Never once.
Well, so I've seen him a bunch of times.
That's the first thing I need you to know. And then the second thing I need you to know is that you have more followers than he does.
Do I?
Yes, as of today, I get to tell you this news.
I did it! Really?
How does it feel? I mean it, yes, by several thousand.
You can't.
How does it feel, Hank, to have 6.4 million TikTok followers to this seemingly perfectly innocuous person's 6.3 million TikTok followers?
It feels good!
Is the hole inside of you filled at last?
I've been chasing him for a long time, John. He is growing. Like, it's not like he's stagnant. He's moving.
Is the void that you believed you were only one achievement away from finally filling filled?
Well, no, but this does mean I get to pick another person to go after. That sounds like fun. That sounds like it'll be a good time.
That's right, Oprah. Step aside. Hank Green's coming.
I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in my ability to keep growing on TikTok very quickly, so I have to pick somebody who's like relatively close. Yes. You know what would get me to retire from TikTok?
What?
Is if Oprah Winfrey called me and was like, I want you to be my social media manager for TikTok.
And you would say yes?
I got you. Yes. I need you to move to Missoula, Montana, because I'm not leaving here. But once you're here, we're going to make so many great TikToks. You're gonna have 100 million followers in no time.
Wow. You would stop. You would put aside your own TikTok career for the benefit of Oprah's TikTok career.
Oh, yeah. That'd be so much fun to help Oprah do TikToks.
I have a follow-up question.
Oh, okay.
How much would you sacrifice to, for instance, help your brother's TikTok career?
You're doing great. You don't need help.
Hey, while we're on the topic, we got a question from Larissa, who writes, Dear John and Hank, do you remember during the episode of the podcast that was recorded with Hank and Zach at VidCon Australia when Hank said that he wanted to create one TikTok and have it go viral and then never do anything else on the platform? What happened?
Well, you almost did that. You got close to being I only do bangers.
I had this policy that I only make solid gold platinum TikToks, as I referred to them, which are TikToks that get more than 500,000 views.
Yeah.
And then you
gave up.
And then it broke me. My first 9 TikToks all got more than 500,000 views. In fact, my first 10. And then it roped me in. Now, I have an unusual TikTok strategy, which is working great for me, where I delete almost all of my TikToks about 10 minutes after uploading them. And that's been wonderful. And I can't recommend it enough. But I do still have some non-solid gold platinum TikToks that are publicly available.
Yeah.
It has happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I made a video about this, Larissa, basically, because obviously it did suck me in. It is a rewarding place to create, but I do also have problems with it, which I have also made videos about.
Right, right.
And also, like, it's very difficult for it will eventually happen, but it's difficult for me to see something very interesting happening in social internet land and not to understand it. Maybe this is the last time I really go all in, but for example, I don't understand Snapchat at all. so it's certainly not everything, but I do really like to understand cultural phenomena.
Yeah, I do too. let's move on to this other question, taking away from TikTok.
Okay, great.
We got a question from Tanvi who asks, "Dear John and Hank, I really like flowers so much so that I often have a vase of two or three fresh cut flowers in my living and dining room. But sometimes when people come over, they ask me why I like flowers, given that cut flowers die. How do I politely tell these people that they are alive right now and really pretty and in my house and going to die just like my flowers?"
I mean, I don't think you say that.
I think you do. I think that's the most polite way you could possibly say it. I think you say, like, you know what else is really beautiful and destined to die? You.
I mean, I cannot imagine walking into someone's house and seeing a design choice they have made and being like, I am going to remind you about mortality. I'm going that seems like a weird judgment too. Yeah.
It's like if they have a pet dog and their little puppy comes up and you start petting it and you look up at them and you say, it was an interesting choice to get a dog when they die.
I mean, it is a different time scale. I understand it's a different time scale. You know, you got flowers for maybe like 2 weeks at the outside if you got really robust ones and take care of them really well, cut flowers. But like, I don't know. Like, people do a lot of weird stuff. This seems low
on the
list.
Maybe that's the right answer. Maybe the right answer is, I don't know if you've noticed, but people do lots of weird stuff.
But,
like, there are people who have...
We are so strange. The whole thing.
Like, listen, I understand it's weird that I have dying flowers in my house, but lots of people have, like, collections of 5,000 Funko Pops.
Yeah. I have a friend who has a room that is full of things that she found in a river.
Yeah.
It's a river room.
I have 135 bottles of fermented grape juice that, like, all taste pretty similar, but when I drink them, I'm going to act as if they taste vastly different from each other.
I have next to me a lot of words printed on paper that I'm not going to read again. Some of them I haven't read once. Like,
yeah, I'm currently holding like a piece of aluminum that was made just for holding liquid.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
And the liquid it was holding was designed in the early 19th century by a chemist in Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
And it's bubbly. Mm-hmm. And it contains purportedly 23 separate but all artificial flavors.
Yeah, you got to next time somebody says that to you, you got to say Hank Green doesn't have flowers. Instead, he has a rubber duck in the shape of pioneering vlogger Zay Frank. He has that on his table.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I'm not the weird one.
Yeah.
And we're all great. Everybody is great in their own ways.
I would definitely focus on the we're all going to die aspect of it. I would definitely focus on the you are also as beautiful to me as a flower and as fleeting.
But don't say it in a serial killer way. And I'm not sure how to say that in a not serial killer
way. Yes. Yes. Great point, Hank. Great point, Hank. Don't like take the flower out.
Yeah.
And like pluck one of the petals and say, you know what else is beautiful and about to die?
Very
Don't
slow
do that.
Head turn.
That's not cool. That's not cool.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, actually, that today's podcast is brought to you by not being a serial killer.
Ooh,
not
gosh,
being a serial killer. It's the best way to be.
Today's podcast is also brought to you by Derek Huff. Derek Huff. Boy, those.
Don't follow him on TikTok.
You should go. Bring me back down. Take it. Take me down. It's your opportunity right now to take me down
a
notch.
And of course, today's podcast is brought to you by TGI Fridays. Fridays. It's self-explanatory.
And also today's podcast is brought to you by the Leap Fortnite. Either we're going to get together and have a real chill time, or it's going to be the end of everything. We're not sure.
Right. I feel like the word Fortnite has been very successfully co-opted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't being used a bunch for other stuff.
I was, man. If you look through my novels, there's so many times Fortnites pass.
Yeah.
Not really. But I like that you believed it was possible.
It's absolutely possible.
It's totally possible.
What's the thing? Deadpanned? Deadpanned.
Deadpanned. I use deadpanned once every book. But anyway, we also have a Project Frost message from Emma to AJ, who says, I couldn't be happier to have spent 3 years with you. I love how much we are able to share interests. I love cooking new foods for you and writing music together. Most of all, I love you. Everything hasn't always been roses, but that just proves we can navigate storms as well as clear weather. I'm so glad you sat in my seat. I bet that's a kind of inside joke reference, but it's I can tell that it's a sweet one. Thank you, Emma, for donating to the Project for Awesome. And by the way, the Project for Awesome is coming up.
It is.
Between February 25th and February 28th.
Sure.
Hank and I will be part of a live stream extravaganza, and you can get as a perk, if you donate to the Project for Awesome and support great charities, you can potentially get one of those Project for Awesome messages that you can read to your loved one. That's probably won't be as sweet as Emma's to AJ, but it could still be sweet.
Maybe. Yeah. So get ready. And there's lots of ways to get involved. You can go to projectforawesome.com to find out more. And we very much appreciate everybody who gets involved however they can. It's a ton of fun. I've been on Amazon trying to think, like, what am I going to buy that's going to make this weird? Because that's one of the most important things, that I just have a big box full of things that might get weird.
I like that. I can't believe that this is the 15th Project for Awesome.
That's crazy.
It's just really remarkable. Mm-hmm. The P4A has raised $15 million in 15 years, and we just want to see that continue to grow this year. We're so excited, and it's just an awesome thing to be part of. So grateful to everybody who volunteers and makes it work, and it's going to be a great time.
It is. It is.
All right, Hank, before we get to the all-important news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon, I want to ask you another question.
Okay.
It's from Abby, who writes, Dear John and Hank, I was just thinking about how small our little planet is in the grand scheme of things, and now I'm wondering if my cells have families that resent me for not drinking enough water. Is it plausible that my cells might be at least sentient enough to be annoyed with me for not drinking enough water? Dehydrated Abby.
What I like about this isn't just that the cells are annoyed with you, but they have like caring, loving parents and brothers and sisters who are like, can't believe they got Abby. They have to live in Abby, and Abby never drinks.
Right.
When she take care of my good cell friend, family member? And I don't know how they their names are chemical signals rather than words, because they can't talk.
I can't believe Abby won't take care of my 337,000th clone.
Yeah, I mean, cells are so weird, John. The whole idea that I'm just a bunch, that like all of these billions or trillions of little goobers work together to make me have like thoughts about TGI Fridays, little unacceptable. I don't feel like I'm doing them proud.
Not only that, half or around half of the cells that make you up, which some of which contribute to what you think and what you want,
they're not
aren't
me.
Actually you.
Yeah,
they're bacteria colonizing you.
Well, those aren't me though. They influenced me for sure, but in the same way that
they contribute to how you're doing.
Yeah, well, but
in ways that you don't know and aren't conscious of.
Yeah, well, same with like strangers on Twitter though, and they're not part of my body.
That's true, but the difference is, and I think it's a significant difference, is that like, for example, the gut microbiomes of people who have OCD are different from the gut microbiomes of people who don't. Now, that may not be causative. We're not there yet, but that's a weird correlation.
That is pretty weird. That's pretty weird, for sure.
So is it me, or is it my microbiome, or is it both? The point is that we are a weird collection of cells that don't, fortunately, have feelings. Now, there may be a level of annoyance that they feel when you are dehydrated, Abby, in the sense that there may be things that they can't do.
Yeah.
But do they worry about it? No.
Yeah. Or, yeah, things that they're a little less good at. This is a very tricky question, because, like, what is, if you, like, look at the strict definition of sentience, then they can sense things. Like, they
right.
react to stimulus, and so, like, you must admit that they can have a sensation. Can they feel a feeling about it? No, probably no feelings. But, like, they definitely, like, have a way of caring, which is that
yeah.
if there is a situation, they will act differently and thrive more and move in directions to try and get things to work. The wonderful and amazing thing about the cells in our bodies, though, and maybe this will make you feel a little bit better about the whole situation, is that they are the most selfless cells in the the cells in a body are the most selfless cells of all the cells, because they regularly are like, if something starts to go wrong with a cell and it's like, I don't know if I'm doing everything right now, they just pop themselves. They're like, no, it's not worth it. They don't. They can make another one of me. I don't. And that's how
right.
it's the only way that it works. Because they all have to work together to make it a larger organism. It's amazing that they can and do so effectively in not just in us, but in all of the organisms, multicellular organisms on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a pretty remarkable
It's one of the
clockworks.
It's one of the weirdest things. Yeah. Because
because they don't think of themselves. This is a cell inside of an organism. I mean, it doesn't think of itself at all.
Correct.
But it doesn't understand itself as
still not working, but okay.
Still not working. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You're right. I actually don't know how to approach this, because it doesn't a cell inside of an organism does not act
yes.
as if it is the organism.
Unless and until it becomes cancer. Like, that is the moment it starts to act like an organism.
Right.
Which is the wild thing about, like, when a cell starts to say, oh, natural selection is supposed to make about success, about creating more of me, and I'm going to create more of me, and I'm going to overcome all of the systems that prevent me from overcoming creating more of me. That is what cancer is. That's why cancer is such a weird disease, because there are lots of ways for that to happen, which makes it many different diseases.
Right.
Which is really cool. There's a great book about that.
Is it called The Emperor of All Maladies by Siddhartha Mukherjee?
No, but that one might be another one.
It's a great book. It was very important for me when I was writing The Fault in Our Stars and understanding how to write about cancer without romanticizing cancer or people who live with it.
It's called The Cheating Cell. So this is a cellular biology perspective on cancer.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, The Emperor of All Maladies takes a sort of historical look, but it's written by an oncologist, so obviously also has a lot of detail.
Yeah.
It's a really fascinating book. And I know we're way off topic now, but if you're interested in reading more about human responses to cancer and historical human responses to cancer and how catastrophic they've often been for both the patient and families of patients, I really recommend reading Susan Sontag's Cancer and Its Metaphors.
All right, John, I want to know how AFC Wimbledon is doing. Oh, no.
Not great. We dropped into the relegation zone for the first time this season, albeit briefly. We were saved by a goal by Bolton Wanderers that put Morecambe back in the relegation zone.
Oof.
But AFC Wimbledon, out of their last five games, we've drawn three and we've lost two. We scored first. I had a great conversation with Alice, actually. It was a really lovely moment where I realized that Alice, you know, is achieving sentience as an AFC Wimbledon fan, because I said, Alice, Ethan Chislett scored for Wimbledon in the third minute and we're 1-0 up. And she said, how many more minutes? And I said, what? And she said, how many more minutes in the game? And I said, 87. And she said, oh, no. And indeed,
correct response. Yeah.
We lost that game. We lost that game 3-2. And didn't look great doing it. So it's been, we have signed a striker to replace the striker that Ryan Reynolds bought from us. So I guess that's a bit of good news. But in terms of the results on the field, it has not been very good. Look, AFC, you know, I say this all the time, but for Wimbledon fans, the most important thing is not the result of a particular game. It's making sure that the team is in a financial place where it can stay fan-owned and have its stadium and build from there. Losing that would be much worse than losing any game or getting relegated out of any league. And so when I look at what's hopeful about AFC Wimbledon right now, I think about the Plough Lane bond in which all these Wimbledon fans are coming together and loaning the club money and you get, you know, your money back and with an interest payment, but the interest payment is smaller than what the interest payment would be for a bank. And that kind of finding creative ways to have the community own the club is how Wimbledon got to the third tier of English football. And so that's where I find hope at the moment. As for our new striker, I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. Hank,
okay.
The most important thing, the thing that you've got to remember is that we needed, Ollie Palmer was a classic small bottom big, a big person with a small bottom.
Right.
And we needed to replace him with another small bottom big. And we did.
All right.
His name is Sam Cosgrove, and he's huge. He is the biggest person I have ever seen play for AFC Wimbledon, except for Adebayo Akinfenwa.
That's a big
and
boy.
He is, it just has a tiny bottom. He's perfect structurally for the job. Yeah.
He's 25 years old. That seems to be a good age for a soccer player.
Yeah. The only downside to having Sam Cosgrove on our team is that we already have a player named Aaron Cosgrave, and I find that problematic.
Oh, that's not bothering me. I found a great picture of his bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not big.
It's barely there, which is ideal. As I said, that is exactly what we need.
But I bet he can kick a ball. So has he played for
that,
you yet?
He's also 6'4".
6'4". Has he played for you yet?
Yeah, he played a little bit in the 3-2 loss. He looked good. I mean, we were off the pace as a team, but yeah. I have a lot of hope. All we need to do, I say this every season, but all we need to do is do what we've done for the last 5 years, which is finish 20th.
and it would be nice, but it's not going to happen for us to do it with some games to spare. But instead,
it'd be great.
It's going to be
great
stressful
to do even with
every game.
It'd be great to do it even with two games to spare. Because so far, we've only ever done it with one game to spare. Or zero.
All right, John. Well, in Mars news, it seems that helicopters might glow in the dark on Mars.
Oh, what?
That is a prediction
Why?
Provided by scientists using some lab measurements and computer models to study how drones on Mars might set off small electric currents in the atmosphere.
Wow.
So this is cool. It's called turboelectric charging. When friction moves electrical charges between two things, like a person rubbing a balloon on their head. On Mars, that might happen when the blades of a Martian drone, like the Ingenuity helicopter, spin around and they get dust grains on their surface. And as the blades hit the grain, there could be a transfer of charge and an electric field building up on the blades, which would then get the atmosphere to start conducting electricity, which would then maybe make a current that would offset the charge. And basically be like sparks in the air. To us, that would look like a purpley glow, but we would only see it if it was dark. And unfortunately, the Ingenuity helicopter doesn't fly at dusk, so we won't see it glow in the dark ourselves, but maybe we would in the future, which would be cool to see.
That is cool.
That, like, you know, drones doing their Mars things and be like, oh, there's some drones going by. You can hear them and you can also see their little purple glow.
Almost like an aurora borealis, but the Martian version.
Yeah, it can. This is also a thing that can happen on Earth when helicopters fly in dusty environments.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that,
Either. I'm trying to see it right now.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, that's exciting, Hank. It's very cool to think about a world where there are lots of people on Mars looking up at their sort of like ghostly purple drones flying by.
Yeah, I gotta say.
I feel like if nothing else, it's great for science fiction.
That's right. It's very true. That's all of the science fiction writers will now incorporate that into their Mars stories, and it will be great.
Yes.
Well, John, thank you for making a podcast with me, as always, and thank you to everybody for sending in your questions, without which this podcast would not exist and be really boring because we just talk about TGI Fridays the whole time.
Hey, we're off to record our Patreon-only podcast, This Week in Wordle, where Hank and I attempt to do Wordle together live as a podcast at patreon.com/DearHankAndJohn.
And also,
you can
we'll
also
talk
get access
stuff.
To our monthly live shows where Hank and I really go deep.
Do some therapy on each other.
We just did it today, and man, we went real deep.
Yeah, we
dug into some stuff from the past.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
So yeah, patreon.com/HankAndJohn.
Thanks for everybody for sitting through that. I think a lot of the people were a little bit like, I don't remember any of the stuff you're talking about right now, but we've
very much so.
Been at it for a while. This podcast is edited by Joseph Tuna Medish. It's produced by Rosianna Hals-Rojas. Our communications coordinator is Julia Bloom. Our editorial assistant is Deboki Chakravarti. The music you're hearing now at the beginning of the podcast is by the great Gunnarola. And as they say in our hometown,
don't forget to be awesome.